لا اجل ما ناجح
عقبه عقبه.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وترك أمته على البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيد عنها بعده إلا هالك. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك وأكرم وأنعم على نبيك الكريم ورسولك الأمين المبعوث بالأدلة الباهرة والهجج القاهرة، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستن بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and thanks are due to Allah, who is infinite mercy has made it possible for all to converge in this very popular lecture theater, NTA Lecture Theater, located in the Faculty of Administration, Ahmadu Bello University, Zaria. This morning, being Saturday, 7th of Ramadan, 1429, after the hijrah of our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to Gregorian calendar, 6th of September 2008, with a view to benefiting one another by way of increasing ourselves in knowledge and understanding of the only religion acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is religion of Islam. Let me start by showing my appreciation to the Diploma 1 student of Accounting and Banking Program of the Department of Accounting for deeming it appropriate to invite me to share with them the little Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed me with the knowledge of this religion. Let me also thank those of you who consider it appropriate to be here in order to listen not only to the lecture but all other things that will follow after the lecture. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us through this memorable session, as rightly mentioned by the chairman of the program. According to the invitation extended to me, the title of the lecture I am to present or to give this morning is Ramadan, the ultimate guide. But I consider it very necessary to make a little adjustment to the topic in order to reflect and to capture reality on ground. Ramadan as a month is not an ultimate diet or a spiritual diet. However, it is the month of spiritual diet. So therefore, the topic should read, or the new adjusted topic should read as follows. Ramadan, the month of spiritual diet. Ramadan, the month of spiritual diet. I invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us and to put barakah in what we are going to discuss. But let me say that in lectures like this, I prefer to speak very briefly in order to allow for contributions and observations, and then maybe questions if any, in order to make the session more interactive. Because on Ramadan, I don't think I have anything new to tell us. On fasting, which is the spiritual diet observed in the blessed month of Ramadan, I don't think I have much to tell us which we don't know. And that is why I hope to be very brief in the lecture in order to allow more time for contribution, observation, discussion, and questions, if at all there will be questions. We all know that the month of Ramadan is the ninth month according to the Islamic calendar or the Hijri calendar. And it is the month in which Muslims all over the world who are able to observe fast are required to fast the entire month with the intention of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is a month full of blessings. Itself is a blessed month, and it is full of blessings. It is the month of forgiveness, the month of mercy, the month of repentance, the month of emancipation, and the month of admittance into Al-Jannah. It is the month in which devils are sent to paradise, are open, and gates to the hell are closed. It is the month in which rewards are given in multitudes, and good deeds or righteous deeds are much more encouraged. It is the month of the Holy Quran, because the Quran was originally revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a total package from Lawhul Mahfuz to Baytul Izza in the blessed month of Ramadan. It is from there that the Quran was revealed in piecemeal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over a period of almost 23 years. It is the month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept prayer and supplication and grant the needs of his father much more than any other time. It is the month in which relations are expected to be tied much better. And understanding is supposed to be enhanced. Knowledge is supposed to be acquired more. And all the acts of ibadah are expected to be observed in multiples with a view to gaining knowledge for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is a school of iman, a school of faith. It is a bookshop at which the believer is expected to recharge the batteries of his iman in order to acquire provisions with which he can survive and maintain all India after Ramadan. It is a school that the believer is expected to go through and graduate with a certificate of forgiveness, certificate of emancipation, certificate of iman, certificate of self-cultivation, certificate of reformation, and certificate of self-discipline. If at the end of the month the believer successfully graduates with a certificate of iman and certificate of taqwa, self-reference, then we say the believer is very lucky to have graduated with a flying color. If on the other hand the believer is not able to graduate with a certificate of reformation, certificate of cultivation, certificate of forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and admittance into Al-Jannah, then there is problem. Ramadan is said to be the best of all months because of the presence of Laylatul Qadr in it. Ramadan is a month of reformation. It's a month of total transformation. It is a month of changing for better. It is a month of reflection and recapitulation so that the believer will ask him, or herself, how far the journey to salvation. If as a believer, you are not able to carry yourself to inquire from your own mind how far you have gone in trying to achieve salvation, to attain salvation, then there is problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ramadan in the Holy Quran. And he mentioned it only once in the Holy Quran. Even though multiplicity of mentioning is a sign of importance, though Ramadan was mentioned only once, it is even more important than the other ones mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah says of the month, Shahr Ramadan, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed as a total package in whole, not in piecemeal, from Lawl Mahfuz to Bayt al-Izzah. That Quran contains guidance and clear explanation of truth about fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever witnesses the month of Ramadan shall observe fast in it, shall spend it in fasting. And we know that fasting is a spiritual diet. It is the ultimate diet that is capable of not only transforming the believer to a better Muslim, but also earning him reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nearness to him. And that is why even non-Muslims such as Dr. Alan Court, because maybe recognize the importance of fasting as a diet that if a person misses it, then he will not be a complete human being. Dr. Alan Court, in a celebrated book titled Fasting, the Ultimate Diet, mentioned about 27 benefits of fasting, which include self-transformation and self-reformation. The only difference between his perspective of understanding the dietness of fasting and the perspective of a Muslim is that the Muslim observes fast as an obligatory act of worship. They fast with a view to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and discharging a responsibility placed on them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why for a believer, fasting is not observed for its own sake, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that it should be observed. Ramadan offers us an ample opportunity for us to reflect over our deeds, seek Allah's forgiveness through repentance, reform ourselves from the evil we have been doing, and make ourselves better and conscious Muslims. It also offers us the opportunity of extending helping hands of assistance to others. It also abounds us the opportunity of knowing more about our religion, learning more about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people we know and we have seen who have got astray through their evil deeds, but during Ramadan they get reformed. During Ramadan they get transformed, and you see them on the first row during Taraweeh or Tahajjud. You see them on the first row during Tafsir and other public lectures. We see them keeping away from evil and sinful acts, maintaining peace and order in the society, shunning evil and evil doing, as well as evil doers. This is to tell us that the blessed month of Ramadan is there as a blessing for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to help us become better Muslims. In the month of Ramadan, people are made to have feelings and sympathy for one another. People are made to remember the need for them to be united and to form a single Islamic brotherhood. People are made to remember the need to spend their night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to spend their day in doing things that will earn them the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the blessed month of Ramadan, people are made happy. They are made to feel happy by worshiping Allah. They worship Allah and they become happy. In fact, happier than ever. They are made to offer a lot of azkar to recite the Quran plentifully, to give charity, to feed poor and needy, to extend helping hands, to visit one another, to reflect over the test of the Ummah, to help reduce poverty level among the Muslim Ummah, among the Muslim Ummah, and to also come together in order to achieve a common goal. And that is why the Muslims should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Him for even preparing their time up to this moment. The Sahaba رضي الله عنهم اجمعين used to celebrate the presence of Allah whenever Ramadan is around the corner. They used to congratulate one another when Ramadan is present, and they used to feel sad whenever Ramadan is about to go. On the contrary, today there are people that are only happy if Ramadan is far away from being around the corner. This is an indication of the understanding of the religion and the purpose for which they are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recognize that Ramadan is a month of the spiritual diet. That is the month of fasting. I am not here to tell us the meaning of fasting. I am not here to tell us the do's and don'ts of the ruling concerning fasting. No, I will not do that. I expect all of us to have read much and much about fasting, its ruling, its do's and don'ts, things that render fast invalid and things that correct our path. What we are here is to look at the directness of fasting in the month of Ramadan. What is the spiritual diet of fast to us? That is what I am here to tell us. But that is not to say that you are not allowed to ask questions on some of the rulings or some of the do's and don'ts if you deem necessary. But for the purpose of this lecture, we are not going to talk about the do's and don'ts of Ramadan or of Ramadan fast. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Fasting is a spiritual diet. It is a spiritual diet because it is the simple act of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it belongs to Him. All other ibadah, all other acts of worship, we do it for our own sake. Because we need it. Because we want it. But for fasting, Allah says, as contained in one of the ahadith, could you see that fasting is for me? Allah says, fasting is for me. And I am the only one to reward the observer of fasting. But all of that is of Ibn Adam, the son of Adam, is for him, they are for him, except fasting, it is for him. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledge something that is done or observed by the son of Adam as something that is meant for him, because hardly riya will come into fasting. How can you do riya? How can you show off by allowing yourself not to eat or drink, by suffering from hunger and thirst, or for the sake of showing off? Can you do that? It's not easy. It's not possible. So the only way you are doing it for the sake of Allah, that you would want to spend the whole day without eating or drinking, or having sexual intercourse with your wife. Because of the intention you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the difference between somebody that does fast or observe it for the sake of Allah and the other person that does it because you want to reduce in size. Medically, you can do fasting with a view to reducing in size. You can observe fast with a view to cleaning yourself of impurities. You can also observe fast to saving your intestines. You can observe fast in order to make yourself agile, more active. You can observe fast as a cure for ulcers. You can observe that in order to reduce the intake of food and consequently save some money, thereby improving your economic standing. Why don't we acknowledge all this to him? They are nothing, they are an appendix. They are not only secondary, but if there is anything tertiary in English, they are of tertiary importance. To the believer, he observes fast because of Allah, because he worships Allah, because Allah ordains that we fast, because we want to honor reward, because we want to gain knowledge to Allah, because we want to cultivate good manners, because we want to acquire taqwa of Allah. So that. Fasting is a spiritual diet. Look at it this way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had recognized the problem of sexual health, especially among youth. He recommended that they marry as soon as they attain maturity of the body and mind, and they have the ability to do it. But because Islam always comes to come with reality, it is also recognized that many a time people who may want to marry may not have the means. So a temporary measure was given, and that is abstinence. And what of the means by which abstinence can be achieved is through fasting. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا مَعَشَرَ الْشَبَابِ مَنْ اِسْتَطَاءَ مِنْكُمُ الْبَاعَةَ فَلْيَتَزَوَّجْ فَإِنَّهُ أَجَبْتَ لِلْبَصَرِ وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرْجِ.
Only group of you, whoever can afford to maintain a life amongst you, should marry. For marriage, help in protecting the side from sin, haram sin. And the present part from indulging in zina. The what did he say? The rest of those that cannot afford. Because there are among the youth who are yatiman, dhaba parada, miskinan, dhaba parada. Especially with the issue of apartheid and ground. We may not be able to do it. Yes, we have strong sexual oaths. Then what will be the way out? فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَقِي فَعَلَيْهِ يُسْعَوْ فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَعْ Whoever cannot afford, then let him observe that, for it will protect him from indulging in zina, or it will control his sexual oath. You can see that spiritually, if you fast, you are controlling your sexual urge. And if you control your sexual urge, it is a means and way by which you get nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, because of sexual urge, some of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to him to request that they be allowed to refrain from marriage by way of castrating themselves. By the time they castrate themselves, they will not have any sexual urge. They will not have any sexual gratification. And they will worship Allah. But it was not approved for them. Abu Sahaba, those Abu Sahaba. خلق الزمان لا يأتين بمثلهم هنذات يمينك يا زمان تكفر time has promised to produce people like the Sahaba but before you could not then he has broken his promise therefore let him go and expect for his promise for the earth he has swore to bring people that will Sometimes he tells that with the Sahaba. Three times to not do that, let him go and escape. Yes. They wanted to castrate themselves. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you observe that, then it will help control your sexual urge. Who among you here has tried this prophetic medicine and it did not work for him. Is there anyone of you here that has practiced or tried this prophetic medicine and to no avail? And to forget was one thing. I remember the day in which these persons will stand before Allah for accountability. It helps me to remember that memorable time during which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought the battle of Badr. He was fasting. Fasting Makkah. During fasting. And some of the other memorable events of Islam, they happened during fasting. It helps you to remember. And to also remember the challenges ahead of you. It makes you more perseverant, more forbearing, and more patient. And that is why it is called the ultimate of the spiritual diet. Specifically, the month of Ramadan, in which we have observe Ramadan fast, helps us
to increase in our spirituality in 5 years. One, it helps us to gain taqwa, because that is the number one objective of Ramadan fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum al-siyam, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun. All you have means, fasting has been made obligatory on you, as was made on those before you, so that you gain taqwa. What is taqwa? And how do you gain taqwa? Taqwa means imtithal al-awamir wa ijtinab an-nawahi, keeping to the do's and don'ts of Allah and His Messenger. That is the meaning of taqwa. You keep to the do's and the don'ts of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And you get taqwa through self-reformation, through cultivation of good manners, through self-restoration, through transformation, through forgiveness and repentance, and through observing all that has been prescribed for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through various acts of ibadah. According to Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant will not do anything that is most beloved to me than to do what I have made obligation upon him. Fasting has been made obligation on us. If we do it, we are doing the most beloved things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that not correct? And we achieve that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through so many ways. We recite the Quran. And that is why it is necessary we recite more of the Holy Quran in this blessed month of Ramadan. We do a lot of adhkar, zikrullah. We spend our night in worship through tarawih prayer or tahajjud prayer. We feed the poor and the needy. We invite people to break fast with us. We feed the fasting Muslims. We do al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an al-munkar through da'wah. We attain titles of knowledge. We attain tafsir of the Holy Quran conducted in various mosques. We attain to the tafsir that are aired in the radio or on television. We attend public lectures organized by various groups and associations. We sit down and reflect over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of the heaven and the earth, makhlukatullah. Through this, we gain nearness to Allah. We seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, acquiring patience. The month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan passed, the month of the spiritual diet is a month through which we are expected to acquire more patience. In a hadith,
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 3 days of every month and the month of patience is a period of fasting. 3 days of every month and the month of patience is a period of fasting. The question is, what is the month of patience? That is the month of Ramadan, according to Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, rahimahullahu tabarak wa ta'ala. And how do we acquire patience in Ramadan? How do we acquire patience during fasting? You acquire patience by way of persevering. You are not eating and drinking all the day. Some people are used to taking food 5 times a day. 5 times. Not because they are all sorry, but because they just want to eat to live. They are not eating to eat to live, but they are trying to live to eat. And a Muslim is supposed to eat to live, not to live to eat. What is the difference between living to eat and eating to live? What is the meaning of living to eat? That you just want to eat anything, anyhow, at all times, you just want to enjoy yourself by eating through eating. But if you are eating to live, you are only eating because you are in need of that food in order to live, to survive, not to die. The believer is supposed to eat to live, not to live to eat. During fasting, you will not eat from dawn to sunset. وَكُلُوا وَشَرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. So from dawn to sunset, you will neither eat nor drink. Have you forgotten that some people, they are also fled servants of Allah? In fact, some of the righteous servants of Allah, yes, they cannot afford 3 square meals outside Ramadan. Maybe you have never reflected over that. But during Ramadan, things are also prevented from eating. Maybe you remember. And by remembering, you will have patience and you will also have sweet coffee for them. You are quite patient by observing self-restraint. Somebody will accuse you, will abuse you, but you are not allowed. You are not allowed to retaliate or to abuse him or her back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you is fasting and someone else abuses him, he should not abuse him back. Rather, he should say, inni sa'imun, inni sa'im. He should not abuse back. Is that not patience? Somebody abusing you, you can also abuse him back, but you are not. So Islam is now cultivating in you patience, so that you lack self-restraint. And you know, the servant of Allah has not received a bounty, a gift from Allah that is more bountiful than patience. It is the most precious gift that Allah has granted his servant, apart from Iman and following of the Sunnah. It is the most precious gift when it comes to Mu'amalat, then and now. Patience is of two types. You have to be patient in worshipping Allah. You also have to be patient in keeping away from your desires. So what Allah has left obligatory on you, you have to be patient for you to be able to do it. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from, you have to be patient for you to serve it. So you have to combine the two patience. eating and drinking, as well as having sex with your wife. Are they restricted? They are. But you are restricted, you are restrained from doing so. You have to be present. Abusing people, telling lies, acting upon falsehood, are they not haram things? You have to be patient as to not to do it. Remember self restraint, cultivating good manners. Is it not obligatory? You have to be patient for you to be able to do it. So patience on obligatory things, or and patience on prohibited things. If you are used to eating 5 times a day, and now you are asked to eat twice, maybe, you are a star and you are a sahur. You know, certainly, it requires a great deal of patience for you to be able to eat. So it's a lot of patience. People will accuse you, will abuse you, will beat you, will say all sorts of things against you. Yet, you are not asked to retaliate. You are not asked to fight back. You are not asked to beat back. To strike back. No! Be patient. Number four. Cultivating good manners. Cultivating good manners. Ramadan, we said it's a school of Iman. And it's a best of for us to recharge our batteries of Iman. One of the significance of Ramadan is that it makes people inculcate good manners. You must not tell lies if you are fasting. If you tell lies, Allah is not interested in your past. You must not slander. You must not backbite. You must not waste your time in doing things that will harm you more than good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الْجُوْءِ وَلَا عَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ هَذَا فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Whoever does not stop telling lies, as well as acting upon lies. You may not be the one that tell lies, but lies is safe, and you know this lie, yet you act upon it. Whoever does not abandon falsehood or telling lies, as well as acting upon it, then Allah is not interested in his success. In the same day, if you are fasting and you are trying to buy time through watching film, playing video or cat or what, or smoke, or going to the football field, then you should know why you never say your fast is not correct, but all rewards meant for the fasting Muslim will miss you. You will not get anything. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشُ. Many a time, the fasting Muslim benefits nothing from his fast except hunger and thirst. Allah Rabbah. In trying to buy a time, you find yourself on the football field, watching football. Of what benefit? Wa ismuhu akbar min nafsih. If at all there is nafsih. You watch movies, cartoons, to buy time, to kill time. No! You are killing yourself, you are not doing time. Time is inelastic, you can never kill it. You can't be time, but time is always different. Then you can utilize time to its fullest. That is the best you can do.
If I provide the money time, you can only utilize it. Because it's not in your own control. Put manners. 100% of fasting. How can you be fasting? And yes, you are baptizing. You say you are a fasting Muslim. Yes, you said lies. You cheat. You fraudulently do things. You slander. You backbite. You cause enmity among people. You carry, you go about and tell. You carry tell. You scorn, mock, and look down upon people. Yes, you are fasting. Of course, there are people who are fast to you. You say you are fasting. Yes, you are not pathetic to those living in destitution. In aspect, poverty. You say they are fasting. Yes, you cannot offer helping hand to your Muslim brothers and sisters. You claim to be fasting. Yes, you find yourself in places that even outside Ramadan, it is prohibited for you to be there. What type of fasting are you doing? Is it the Ta'ala God fasting or the fasting of Islam? Good manners are the proof of your iman. If you are a believer, then that belief is your echo. When you do acts of ibadah, like prayer, like fasting, like zakat, then that justifies your iman. And if you are not having good manners, then your iman and your ibadah have not been able to produce fruit. It is your good manners that shows that your iman and your ibadah have produced fruit. And not only to be of good manners during Ramadan, and thereafter you go back to your yes, no. The idea is to inculcate, to cultivate good manners that you will sustain even after Ramadan. That's it. Month of transformation. Month of transformation and reformation. Number five. Sensing Muslim unity. Ramadan is a month that makes people to sense their unity. Yes. The entire Muslim world today is fast. That shows our unity of purpose, unity of objective, unity of end and God. And what is that end and God? To worship Allah. One is legal to discharge the obligation placed on us. The have and the have not. The leader and the led, men and women, old and young, all of them are fast. Allah will thank you for this. Ramadan is a month that makes the Muslim to find Muslim unity and to reflect over the status of the Muslims worldwide. What is important is for all to look at this five things. Keep them in our mind and closely look at them and see whether at the end of the month we will be able to achieve them. If we are not able to achieve them, then there is trouble. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hard when they say Ani. And he was asked, why did he say Ani three times? And he said, because angels the pray to me and pray three times, or pray on three issues, and ask me to say amen. One of the issues is whoever is alive in the month of Ramadan and did not do what will earn him the pleasure of Allah, and he died without earning the pleasure and forgiveness of Allah, then may Allah distance me from his mercy. And the Prophet said, Amin. Hiya lillah. Angel Jibril praying, and the Prophet said, Amin. This is my thought. Shut my thought. So when you did not do what was under the pleasure of Allah till the end of Ramadan, then too bad. Wallahi, too bad. So therefore, brothers and sisters in Islam, let us reflect over this thing, inquire our minds, and then ask ourselves whether we've taken steps to achieving these five fundamental objectives of fasting. And if after Ramadan, assuming you are able to achieve this, but you are not able to sustain it, too bad. Is the Allah, the Creator, who worships in the month of Ramadan, different from the one who worships outside Ramadan? If you are aware of these things, if you are able to achieve all these objectives, and yet, at the end of Ramadan, we find you going back to your evil and evil dreams, it is a replica of a person who has worked throughout the day to earn a living. After he has gotten what will make him live for that day, he sets out to get to his house. And on his way, he comes across the river and he takes that money, throwing it one by one into the river. What do you expect people to say about that man? He's mad. It's the same thing with you and I, who may, by the permission of Allah, achieve this objective. And then if we go back to our yesterday, go back indulging in sinning, then it is the same thing with that man who has got it enough to survive, but throw it away to the frog and fish in the river. I promise not to speak at length, and I think I have done so. Let me stop here and allow our brothers and sisters to either contribute or to make observations or to ask questions within the time provided or allowed to questions and answers. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us achieve the objectives of fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us enjoy the spiritual diet that is contained in the month of Ramadan, in whole, not in part. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge and understanding. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. الحمد لله. ولا. You are welcome. You got reward your bounty. Not only to all the family members. Another copy. You have heard about from the hospital map. Even though Mala promised at the beginning of this lecture is that he is not going to take much of our time, and he kept to that.
This is why I said at the beginning of the lecture that your declarations will be left open to some section. I believe what you heard is not the first time of hearing them. But human beings be what we are.
Human beings be what we are. By listening to what Mala has said, either they were from reserve.
On the first part. And I believe some of the questions I have here are referring to that. And I believe even today you promise to go back there and continue the Nasiha. There are two questions here of the same content. They are just asking about the support. We are asking Mala to shed more light on support. The importance of it and how to approach it. I mean, how to have it. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Sahur is what is popularly known as pre-dawn meal. That is what the fasting Muslim is expected to take shortly before Fajr appears. There is no any specific item or food that one is asked or required to take. All that is required of you is to take something that will strengthen your body all through the day. Shortly before dawn, before Al-Fajr. You don't necessarily have to eat to your feet. Even if it's just dead, or sip of water, you dead, it is enough. It suffices for sahur, provided you do it with the intention of doing sahur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of the differences between our past, that is the Muslim, and the past of the Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, is taking of sahur. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is barakah, Allah's blessing in sahur. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah and his angels salute those that take sahur. So we can know how important is sahur. Unfortunately, some people neglect sahur. They used to say that they are not hungry. They don't feel like eating something or taking something. That it is necessary for them to say, no matter how small, how minute it may be. We need to seek water with the intention of taking sahur. Suffice. It is strongly recommended that you delay the taking of sahur till shortly before the appearance of Al-Fajr. You should delay. Don't take sahur midnight. Don't take it when it is almost 2 hours estimatedly to Al-Fajr. Delay the intake of sahur. It is also recommended that while you delay the taking of sahur, you should suspend your sahur before dawn. That before the appearance of Al-Fajr, you should stop taking sahur. This is in line with the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that there is a take sahur with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will stop before Fajr appears. the time, the estimated time between the time they stop taking sahur and the time they observe Sunni prayer is enough for a reciter to recite 50 verses of the Holy Quran. This is to say that it is mustahab for one to stop sahur before al-fajr. It is, however, permissible for one to continue with the sahur until he hears the call to prayer. Because the hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the call to prayer of Bilal should not prevent him from eating and drinking. So Bilal used to make his adhan when it is still dark, or when it is still night time. Eat and drink until Ibn Maktoum called for prayer. Eat and drink until you hear the adhan of Ibn Maktoum. According to Ibn Umar, Ibn Maktoum is a blind man. He's a blind man. He doesn't even call to prayer until he is told it is time to call to prayer. Meaning, it is permissible for you to eat all night until you hear the call to prayer. At times, you may have problems. You wake up very late, and you fear that if you don't eat, you may run into problems all through the day. As you grab, onto your ball or plate to start eating, or you take your cup, you want to drink, then you hear the Muazzin saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Abiyabash. In that case, according to the hadith recorded by Imam Abu Dawud, you may continue eating until you are satisfied. But let me say that you are only allowed because you woke up lately and here you may have problems if you don't eat. So this is called rukhsa in Arabic. This is just the assumption. It is good for you to continue to sleep, to continue to lie down until it is about, until the Muazzin is about to call, then you just lift the cup, waiting for the Muazzin to say, Allah says, Ya, I will call to my friend, Ida Sana Adukum Nida, well, Ina Utiyadi, Salah Wa Ba'u Atae, Kabu Minu Hajata. That will be a very wrong interpretation of the hadith. In summary, there are three levels of sahur. The recommended time to stop, and that is before Fajr. The permissible time to stop, that is when you hear Muazzin calling to prayer. And the time of necessity, when you wake up lately, you want to take something and you hear the call to prayer, so you try to manage to finish before you run into trouble. In a nutshell, sahur is a recommended sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for every Muslim who intends to fast. And it is to be delayed, and it has a lot of barakah. Allah and the angels salute those that say sahur. And it is one of the differences between the fast of the Muslim and the fast of the non-Muslim. And it is recommended that we stop taking sahur before Fajr, so it is permissible for us to continue eating and drinking until it is time or until the Muazzin calls us to prayer. Wallahu ta'ala a'ala wa a'ala. The question on our list that will be able to say, still a sahur, but say, can it be over when you hear a salatu khayrun min an-nawm by 3:30 a.m.
I think what he's saying here is that some mosque used to call As-Salatu Khairu Min An-Nawm as first cost, maybe around 3:30 or 4. So what is mean? Can you just stop it because of him?
Well, what is important here is for us to know what the Mu'adzin, or the style of the Mu'adzin. Does he mention As-Salatu Khairu Min An-Nawm in the first call or in the second call? When you say the Mu'adzin calling, does that mean at any time? Allah says in the Quran, وَكُلُّ وَشَرَبُ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. It means it is the appearance of Fajr. But because you may not go out to check on Al-Fajr, to be looking at the Fajr Fatiha, that is why you have been allowed to stay and listen to the Mu'adzin. Once you go to prayer after the appearance of Fajr, then you stop eating. That is the meaning. So in the mosque, you rely on do not salat al-Khair wa al-Nawmi in the first call, then it means you have to wait for the second call, which will be devoid of as-salat al-Khair wa al-Nawmi. But if, on the other hand, the mosque that you rely on, or the mu'adzin that you depend on, make as-salat al-Khair wa al-Nawmi during the second call, not the first call, then in that case, when you hear him saying as-salat al-Khair wa al-Nawmi, the second call, you stop. That is the meaning. As for which one is the preferred method, then there is difference of opinion among scholars. And you must not conclude that people must do this or that. You must not conclude. Because if you conclude, we ask you why. And you cannot justify. So just stop at that. Some scholars say, make it during the second call. Others say, make it during the first call. So if you are more inclined to the opinion of scholars that says that during the second call, such as the best call, such as in this contemporary world, in our modern time or recent time, such Muhammad Najib al-Albani, so be it. If you are more inclined to the opinion of the other scholars, such as Al-Utaymi, Ibn Baz, and others, that say, make it during the second call, so be it. Is there an issue for people to disunite? Or get one another? So depending on the mosque, you can, or you rely on the mosque, you follow, or you listen to. Whichever one, the second call is the point of reference in this case.
Another person here, who has a saying, Malak, comment on the fact that we fasten on the traveler, because rich men nowadays take that advantage of traveling to some countries in the month of Ramadan and back after the month.
That will not stop them or prevent them from fasting. If they travel outside the country and then come back after Ramadan, what did Allah say? فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَإِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. They are expected or they are required to make it off after Ramadan. And I believe that will be more difficult than doing it along with other people. So let them travel to Exodus, they'll come back and do it. There's no problem. What is important is for us to know that if one is on a journey, it is permitted for him or it is permissible for him to break his fast. Irrespective of whether in modern times there is ease of travel, that is not the reason for anybody to say people should not break their fast if they so wish. As for me, for example, I don't think even if I'm going to the moon, I will break my fast. But that is not to say that it is not allowed. It is allowed. If you are on a journey, when do you want to go to Lagos? By flight? No, by air. If you go to Kaduna, you go on Central G, it's just 1 hour, 10 minutes. You will find yourself at Ikeja Airport. That will not stop you from breaking fast if you wish. But remember, you come back and do it in Zaria. That is what you do. Allahu Akbar.
The questioner here is asking on the manner to please call the attention of my brother that used to dress like the unbeliever. Because today I know some of my brothers as Muslims in our class, due to the way they dress.
Well, I think we have already made the call.
So I hope people will use
Arab
to emulate
the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba in the manner they dress. لقد أسمعت لولا بتحيّن. So let it be so. We have already made the call. May Allah make it easy for all of us to change the better.
This one is saying, sir, my question is that, is it good for a Muslim to hold Al-Quran when praying Tarawih or Tahajjud?
There are two opinions on this. The first opinion championed by Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Abdullah bin Baz is that one is not allowed to hold the Quran during Tahajjud prayer. You said because it distracts attention. And you have to have composure. So therefore you should not hold the Quran. Another group of scholars said, no! You even get no composure. You get no composure if you hold the Quran. After all, if you are not an imam and you don't have the Quran, you are not looking at the Quran, you are not following the recitation, your attention will be distracted. But if you have a focused attention on the Quran, it is better for you. So these are two opinions. Depending on the one you feel it is more sound, you take it and you open it. But the bottom line is that during the time of Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked one of her free slaves to lead her in Tarawih prayer, and because he did not memorize the Quran by heart, he used to hold the Quran and recite from the Mus'haf. So because of this Azhar, which is authentic, some scholars said, okay, you can hold the Quran only, but only if you are the Imam. If you are the Imam, But I incline more to the opinion that saying you can call the Quran, whether or not you are the Imam. Allahu Akbar.
Mala, you say there is a brother, say that if a brother is unable to achieve the blessings of Ramadan, e.g. admission into Al-Jannah, etc., then there is a problem. Please, what are these
programs
and its causes?
The problem, as you mentioned, that is the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is just the problem. And the cause is that you are not able to achieve that.
That is the cause.
It is the cause and the problem, as you mentioned, that may Allah distance such a person from that. That is the problem, which I believe is a very serious problem.
So may Allah save us from such a problem. My Lord, how we can enjoy this spiritual diet in this environment of pre-interaction with females to the women that have happened, and advice on the apart from the tire.
Well,
on how to achieve this incredible spiritual diet, I want to remind us of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ Fear Allah to the best of your ability. You know your best. And you know what can erode this enjoyment from you. And you know what you are presenting it. So look at yourself, examine yourself, and do the right thing. You know it. You all know the right thing, don't you? Don't you know the right thing?
So,
sometimes in the class, I used to crack jokes. But I know something, it's a message I'm passing, even though some people may not understand the message.
On a road like this, you find all the people there, all the students are male students except one lady. You begin to wonder why. What is she doing there? This whole row has been occupied by male students. Why are they sitting there? Meaning, you can avoid some avoidable to the best of your ability. So some people decide deliberately to fall victim of circumstance. All the students that find you are serious students. They just see one person, one student in between. What is he trying to see? Current or what? He refused to avoid it. In that case, would he be able to achieve this? Certainly,
no.
So if you do, you sit a while, it matters a lot in the class. If you don't want to interact with the outmaker female students, you can avoid it. Can't you?
You can avoid it.
That is there. We are all here. In your own future, agenda. You are better. 20 years ago, in this school, when you are programmed, you can't see anybody. Any teacher with complete hijab, not so much niqab. You can't see anybody with complete hijab to your socks. No way. We used to have an Amira, I think in 1993-94. That was very silly.
And she was the Amira
of NSS. One of the best. That was silly.
What can you say about it?
In your own class, you are even better off. In your own class, you go. You find some sisters, girls, and properly dressed.
And you are still saying, how can you avoid it?
You know. Well, according to Taya, Nobody call it ibadah. It is only ibadah that you can classify as bid'ah and sunnah. This is mu'amalat. This is adat. It is adat. Al-adah. It could be a good one, it could be an evil one. But when you call it bid'ah, it means you don't even know the meaning of bid'ah. The technical meaning of bid'ah. If they say you are a party, if you don't have it, tell them you don't have it. Serious. If they give you the sister, let them give you. If they not give you, find another one. She is not a god. If she goes there, so let them talk to another sister. Another sister will even give one to give you a party.
I mean, it's allowed. It's allowed.
Any sister that wants to give a patimitaya to the brother is also developing and is allowed. There's nothing wrong in that. But don't go and start putting at it to say that khairun nikahi, blah, blah, blah. The best marriage is the one that is friendly to the brother and the friend. You know some brothers are very stingy. They don't want to spend money. They will forget about all the hadith that talk about the importance of putting small only for that. Until when it comes to their turn, then they remember that they were taught during Islamia 10 years ago or 20 years. Allah said that khairun nikah, aitharuhu, or things like that. Or some of them, a potential brother, a potential brother, that has the potential to earn 20, 30, 50,000 a month. Do not go and walk. Do not sweat. You see, in this Islamia, in that Islamia, 10 Islamia in the day. At the end of the month, you will net about 10,000 or 5,000. When you sell it, bring for that 30,000. God! Who asked you not to go and live with get money? Even if you say 100,000, what is wrong in that? Will there be no baraka? If you say 100,000 after that, brothers don't want to be satisfied. Because then they are expecting that parents will just give them the hand of their daughter free. FOC, free of charge. It's not like that. You have to spend money. Can you quantify Kambara? You can. It's a big amount of money. You can't quantify it. Meaning, there is no maximum, there is no minimum. So even the scholars that put minimum for that, it is not justified. You cannot provide evidence for that from the Quran and authentic Sunnah. You can. There is no minimum, no maximum. You can pay as little as a ring. Because that's economic value. Don't it have economic value? You can pay a ring, give a ring for that. You can also give her 1 billion naira. It's allowed. No minimum, no maximum. سعيد بن المسيب آخر المتقدمين رحمه الله تعالى one day inquire about one of the students who is very regular in attendance but for some days سعيد بن المسيب did not see him. He asked about him and he was told his wife died. Then he sent for him. When the student came, Sayyid ibn Sayyid said, why did you not send to us so that we meet you at home for condolence visit or for condolence? Then the student said, because I don't want disciples of knowledge to be suspended because of you. Then he said, have you got him? Did you marry another wife? He said, no. How can I marry another wife when I don't have anything to give? I don't have money. I'm not there. Sayyid ibn Sayyid has a daughter. The most threatening daughter of her time. The most knowledgeable of all women of her time. Or one of the most knowledgeable. One of the most beautiful women of her own time. Ibn Musayyib said, I will marry you, my daughter. Because the student said, who will give me his daughter in marriage when I have only 3 dirhams? So Ibn Musayyib said, I will give you my own daughter for 2 dirhams. So a wife is even discount. if you are, what will you say? Will you accept? Remember, that same woman, that same lady, her hand was caught by the government of that government. That Sayyid ibn Sayyid declined. So the student said, yes. With all pleasure. There and then, Sayyid ibn Sayyid did not invite anybody. But the people that were around, he said, Inna alhamdulillah, na'amadu wa nasayyid wa nasayyid. And the marriage was contracted. The marriage was conducted. That was a place. The student went home, waiting to see what will happen. So at night, he had knock on the door. Assalamu alaikum, after knock. Said, alaikum assalam, until bab, who is there? And a voice said, Saeed. Then the student said, he was very important. That, I became a little bit worried. Saeed? I don't know any Saeed in Medina except Saeed ibn Musayyib. Could it be that the marriage has been withdrawn? What happened? So he came out. He summoned courage and then opened the door. And he saw the evening was saying, standing, and behind him, a woman, and properly dressed. And then Saeed said, I know that you don't have a wife. And today, you've got to marry. So I said, it's not proper for you to spend the night without life. So I here is your wife, may Allah bless your life. And he took it to you. No empire, Maria. A
I believe brothers will want this kind of marriage. They want it. But there is nothing wrong about Aisha Amaya. Because Aisha was taken to the prophet by a company of women. So according to Amaya, I believe this one will be preferred by the sisters. So, however, the entire Maria are not permitted to spend night there. They must go home, all of them. All of them. If they don't go home, then they are gone to that. Let them leave the house and go back to their various destinations, leaving the Ambo and the Amaria alone. That is the sunnah. Because Rasulullah Sallama did not ask the women that took Aisha to him all the night. They all left. All of them left. Some people, because of the Dinda, they spent 2 days. And the Ambo will spend his sleeping outside the house because of the Dinda. He is because a glorious and a glorified father. That is not the truth of the matter. That student of Hebrew spent his night with his Amaria in the morning. He prepared himself and set for school. He wants to listen. Then the woman, the Amaria, asked him, Ilahi, where are you going? So my blessed husband, he said, Ilahi, Idi, Ata'al, Lamil, I want to go to the cycle of knowledge conducted by your father, Sa'id, to learn from him. She said, Idris, Ali, Muka, Ili, Muka, Idi. Don't go anywhere. You will get all the knowledge of Sa'id here. I'll teach you. Who among the sisters will now claim that now? That this I will teach you. The very good life, most of them. So after what you can do to teach you? Kai, no, they go to school. All of them. They learn a lot. But the only problem is even if they teach you, you will take a price from them. Because they will do good. Tell you, Aman, isn't that me? So, what you are saying is that while Sayyid ibn Musayyib collected only 2 dirhams from the 3 dirhams owned by his students, there is still nothing wrong in collecting much more than that. In fact, the Sadaqah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we translate it into Naira, this Naira, this Rubish Naira, if we translate it into that, some of you will be very, very surprised. So that Allah just fits Sadaq to you. Even if it's 250,000 naira. Go, no, I take it. Go, we are encouraging parents to take it very, very easy and also try to simplify the issues of marriage. Because if you don't do that, there will be a lot of problems. Today, women outnumber men in the world, except according to the stupid census of Nigeria, where men outnumber women. Men are more than women. It is only in Nigeria that men are more than women. Only in Nigeria. Even the US and UK, for more than a decade now, have acknowledged that men are more than women. I mean, women are more than men in number. But in Nigeria, the census says men are more than women. That's not enough to falsify the census. The result of the census. So there are more in number than men. And you see, if these things are not simplified, many of them will be malandering. They will be running about, I'm telling you, without suitors. And even if they are suitors, once they say no, he will run away. He will not come back again. That is the danger. a sister helicopter that she will place her. She is in a state of element, in a quagmire. She said that those that are yet to get married among brothers are not willing to go forth. They want to see a reality to cut her. If they go to spend night to spend time or to waste time, they call it spending time. Once they are said, okay, please send their permission. They will hold their head and then will say they will come back. She said, and later, they opted for a married man who has wife. You know, it's not difficult for some people, for some sisters to accept that fact. So, even that one is a problem. Because she has been having sisters. But her problem is that, you know, this time, when we are here and everywhere, they are found, so they will accept, she will receive text from him. And whenever she takes that, and his wife takes it, she will use the number, call her, and show her a good view on her. Call her a shawee, go and look for her own husband. So she has been done, neither has she done, nor has she done. There is no problem. That is the problem. And what is as a result of making things difficult vis-a-vis the amount or the requirement of marriage? And some of them, they don't want to come to reality. They don't like passion. They don't like planning second or third or fourth. But remember, they are not being truthful to themselves. Do you know how? If she is the one to be married, a second or third or fourth, you see it when coming? She likes it. If it is her daughter that is married, a second or fourth, as a mother who is tired of seeing her daughter without her husband, she will like it. If she is the mother and her son wants to take a second wife or third wife, she will encourage you. In some cases, they will even have problems if you refuse to take another wife. Isn't it? But if she is at home, and then the second wife is to be married, or third one, she sounds like it. Is this not selfish? To be married. Her son, her daughter, to get the second one. Then that is where the problem is.
Allah Akbar. There are two questions here I want to bring together. The first one is saying, can someone contract marriage in the month of Ramadan? Assalamu alaikum, what is my faith as a sister? Who ought to date? No, any guy has approached me on campus. But I'm truly in love with a brother, and I don't know how to approach you. Mala, your advice is sincerely, seriously needed.
My advice, so let me start with the first part of the question. You see, unfortunately, we are lacking over this. I want to assure you, it is not a laughing matter. Let me assure you that if you are close to many sisters, and they will open up, I want to assure you, you will be surprised. It's not a laughing matter. Although you don't admit that people laugh over it, but that is not the intention. It is never the intention. All that we are saying here, we are saying it because it is in line with the religion. You cannot come and just crack just like that and do. Of what benefit? Then it is during Ramadan.
Even the narration I brought was just to tell us to know that there is neither minimum nor maximum. When we look at situation, we look at the condition of the person, the suitor. That is what we say that people should not spend money when they want to get married. Or that people should be made to suffer if they want to get married. That's not the intention. But we study the situation and then we ask based on that, that's the meaning. So, I don't expect us to laugh about this matter. If we cannot shed tears, let us at least sympathize. What a place of life. There are brothers at the same time that want to get married. Well, last they are being eaten up by their sexual desire. They don't have to be.
I am not supposed to sympathize with such people.
They may not come out to tell you. It is really there. It's a problem. So in the first part, I want to say there is nothing wrong in contracting marriage for Ramadan. Maybe why people are not used to getting married for Ramadan is because marriage is a period of celebration. And in Ramadan, there is a lot of restrictions to celebration. People will not eat, will not drink, will not enjoy themselves because during the day, because it is Ramadan period. It is Ramadan period. That is the reason.
But there is nothing wrong in contracting marriage
in any of the 12 months of the Islamic calendar. There is nothing wrong in that. So therefore, people can contract marriage. Generally, especially in the developing part of the country, marriage for Ramadan is only to Zawarawa, not the Mata. But we are saying there is nothing wrong in that. If there is, you know, need for it, let it be. There is no problem. Wallahu a'lam. On the sister, well, you see my advice. If it were the time of Sahab, or the time noon, or the time that we eat, I will have advised her to approach the brother quickly. But God, the day in which sisters will do that and without receiving humiliation. And because of that, even though there is an exception, we are good brothers, that if they are approached, even if they are not impressed, they will not make it an issue out of no issue.
But only Allah knows them.
Only Allah knows them. You don't know them. That is why I will not advise you to approach the brother directly. Instead, try one of the two methods.
One.
So the problem is, if I say it, I am making another secret. If you are a gathering of sisters alone, I would have told them that is a secret and I don't want to leak it to the brother. Because if I tell it, it will not work out with the sister. It should not.
Yeah, but
truly speaking, the method requires a lot of secrecy. Truly. And the brothers are not supposed to know. They are not. So, what is the advice now? That is? You said?
No.
I will not subscribe to the answer being given in the presence of the brother. Truly. Maybe my advice, my advice to the sister is to either detain them when we resume after Ramadan, the question and answer session, she can ask her question during the question and answer session at Hostel 3 months. But if it is urgent to her, then she has two methods, or she has one of two options. Either to come to my office to ask the question, or to wait Anywhere she sees me, she adds her question. Because if they see her, the brother will not know she's one. Because we have found that naked house has worked perfectly for many reasons, and it is a secret, very highly confidential, only for the sisters, not for the brothers. The doctor told me that after telling the sister, a brother also may not know, but through her, not through me. No brother will know. I want to assure you, you will not know from me. You will not. That is for option number one. It's a top, highly classified secret. But the second one, I will tell you all of you. The second option is for her to send a representative. Or if you cannot send a representative, there are 101 ways of showing the brother that something is fishy. 101 ways. Let us try at least 21. She can try it, and maybe the brother, maybe, will know that something is happening and will act accordingly. But sincerely speaking, I don't advise her to approach the brother directly. It may not work out for her, given our own nature today. Most of us are spoiled in that area, and we tend to exploit opportunities that come to our way negatively. So this is my humble advice. The love of Allah.
We are hearing the question of success. These two are the same. Nana, please, I want you to advise those people who don't normally start fasting with others. And this I say until they see the moon.
Well, since they don't have any evidence,
we strongly advise them to fear Allah and to fast along with the other people. Because that is the requirement of the Sharia. They have to do that, we mean they will have to defend themselves before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Wallahu a'lam. This one is in your lecture, you say that a man cannot have social intercourse with his wife during fasting. That is the month of Ramadan. But some malam say it is allowed for a man to have sex during fasting. After everything, you take your bath and continue with fasting. I want you to clarify this.
If the malam means that you have sex with your wife at night, then there is no sunnah that opposes to that. It is allowed. وَكُلُوا وَشَرَبُوا أَسَاءَ تَبَعَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطَ الْعَدِيَاتِ مِنَ الْخَيْطَ الْعَصْوَاتِ مِنَ الْخَجَرِ ثُمَا كُمُّ سِيَانَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ In you, it also includes sexual intercourse. But during the daytime, we are not aware of any, not even malam, any ignorant Muslim. That says that you can have sex with your wife during the daytime of Ramadan. I mentioned, and I continue to mention, I'm going to mention again, in the lecture I mentioned during the daytime. I said eating, drinking, and having sex with one's wife during the daytime, between or from dawn till sunset, it is not allowed. But at night, you can have sex with your wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the same surah Al-Baqarah, because in the past it used to be bad that if you sleep at night, you are not allowed to make anything after you wake up. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to all in the Quran that it is not like that. أهل لكم ليلة القيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هم لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهم علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فالآن باشروهن واتقوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتغير لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل. So it's not permissible, for people to have sex with their wives at night in the month of Ramadan. But during the daytime, no. They are not allowed any Muslim that says that. So therefore, if it is true that the scholars mean that, then they must have said it out of sheer ignorance. And they are not scholars at all. Because they are not qualified to be called students of knowledge. They even ignorant is an onu. When you call them ignorant, it is an onu. We don't know how to even describe it. But I want to believe that the sister or the brother or the person misrepresented the scholars. The need is allowed to you to have sex with your wife at night, which I said it is true. There is no scholar at the best of our knowledge that opine to the contrary. But during the daytime, from Fajr to sunset, no scholar ever said that you can have sex. After all, the Prophet was during some time, a man came to him crying that he has destroyed himself, so he is destroyed. The Prophet went to my entire father and he said, I have sex. I had sex with my wife during the day of Ramadan. And the Prophet asked him to expiate, to do kafar. That is to say that it is not allowed. It is a sinful act, and at the same time, it requires both atonement and expiation. Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala.
From the organizing committee, I've been empowered to read two more questions. Others may be when such occasion like this is being organized, others can be addressed. The first one I have here, what I say, Mana, if during the month of Ramadan, somebody, Kufa insults or abuse the religion of Islam. Can one fight back? Since you say one should be patient.
Abusing the religion of Islam and abusing you, the Catholic Muslim, are two different things. But even where Islam is abused, you are only going to fight back, but to defend Islam. What is the cause of the abuse? You clarify, it might be out of conception. Clarify to the person what Islam means or why it is so in Islam. That is what is expected of you and not to fight back. Allah Allah.
This one is the one that is question 3-4. The first part of the question is saying, what is the ruling of a person who eats or drinks? Half an affair with his wife, thinking that he has not started the downfall, or the down has not appeared. That's first one. What is the ruling of the Sharia concerning fasting person who, on looking at his wife, discharges semen without either touching or embracing her? Thirdly, what is the ruling of a pregnant woman who notices bleeding from her private part while observing fast?
On the first question, if one has said that it is right. Thinking that it is still not larger, it is still not down. But later, he discovered that it is down. According to the strongest opinion of scholars, the fast is valid and there is no punishment or atonement in him. But if it is deliberate, then of course the path is vitiated. He is required to atone, that is to make it up, and to offer expiation, kafara. Therefore, Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in Majmu' al-Fatawa mentioned that where it occurs out of forgetfulness, mistake, then there is no atonement or expiation on him. He mentioned the same thing in Risalat al-Qiyam or Haqiqat al-Qiyam. The second one, that is not to say that all scholars are of that view. That's why I say the strongest opinion. Meaning, there is another opinion. Or other opinion. On discharging of feminine fluid as a result of looking at one's wife without touching or hugging her, then according to the Maliki school of thought, the start is void, is incorrect or initiated, and is prepared to atone for the past, to make it up after Ramadan. But another opinion is that it is not vitiated, and this opinion seems to be more preferred when critically examined. In other words, he is required to take ritual bath and then continue with his task. Because it is something that will not cost the liberty. On the ruling concerning a pregnant woman who notices a bleeding while driving her past, the most important thing is for us to know whether that bleeding is as a result of his carriage. If it is as a result of miscarriage, and what she miscarriage, that is the future, if it is already complete, the shape of human being is complete in the future, or most part of human being is complete in the future, then we consider that as a postnatal bleeding. It is equivalent to nifas, postnatal bleeding. And therefore, to suspend her fast, that particular one is void. Meaning, is already vitiated, and she stops fasting until she gets clean. And then, she is required to make up the day she deserves fast. But the fetus that comes out of her has no complete human shape or most part of human body, then it will be taken as istihada, irregular bleeding. And therefore, she is required to take back and continue to fast. Her fasting is in valid and correct. She will fast and she will pray. However, it is not as a result of this carriage, but just bleeding. Then we have to also know whether it is menstruation or not. Of course, the general understanding is that pregnant women do not do menstruation. They don't menstruate, most of them. In fact, about 99.9% of all women don't menstruate during pregnancy. But the other patients in the percentage do menstruate during pregnancy. So because of this, we now have to say that she should be able to distinguish between the blood. Is it hyda menstruation? If so, then the ruling concerning menstruation will apply, even though she is pregnant. She will suspend her fast, will not pray, and will let up the number of days left after Ramadan. If it is not menstruation, but irregular bleeding, that is the other, then she continues to fast and pray, and her child is okay without problem. So, more information, I refer you to my small book titled Gift to the Fasting Muslim, which I believe will be available in the MSF library. So you go there, you read it, just a 116 page book, and it discuss, I think, moderately on these issues. Salaam alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. We have come to the end of the question section. See, those of you that are not there, your question to
please. Thank you.